you know, when we go, when we decide where, not we, but maybe those of us who may not go to the ER, don't like going to the doctors, sometimes your body gives you a signal, things you can't ignore, things you know you have to address, you can't hide. You can ignore the pain as much as you want, but it's not going to go away. And that's the same way with sin. We can try to ignore sin as much as we want. It won't go away because we have to address it. And if we don't address it, like the pain, the body can kill us. Sin can kill us spiritually. And so likewise, how do we learn these lessons? Where the Bible is full of many of these lessons, but what I want to focus on is in the book of Genesis chapter 4. The book of Genesis chapter 4. And, you know, every time I read the story of Cain and Abel, I come away with something new. I learn something new every single time. Because you're always trying to put yourself in the seat of Abel and also try to understand Cain. And you learn a lot. So let's read verses 1 through 8 of Genesis chapter 4, where it reads, "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, 'I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord.' And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions, and the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. And before Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? Why has your face fallen? If you do well, would you not be accepted? If you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it.' Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, when they were in the field. Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him." So we'll stop right there, and let's go back and examine this. Just a few verses stand out to me. You know, obviously it's a good thing. Adam, with his wife, conceived Abel and Cain. They had two sons, and they both had jobs and responsibility, where Abel was a keeper of the sheep and Cain a worker of the ground. But here it says in verse 3, "In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground." And we see likewise in verse 4, Abel brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And where does the sin we see here with Cain, where do we see the symptoms? Because like our bodies, there are always symptoms that give us signals that let us know that something is wrong here. And with Cain, we have to figure out, where are the symptoms? Where did the pain start for Cain? You know, where did he start going off track? Because it appears he's doing the exact same thing as his brother Abel. Okay? Now, there are some subtle differences. We see in verse 3, Cain brought to the Lord and offered the food of the ground. You may say, hey, that's fine. But notice in verse 4 what Abel does. He bought the firstborn of his flock. The firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. He's bringing out technically the best. When we read other Old Testament scriptures, the firstborn of his flock that stands out and of their fat portions. And it says, "And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering." And it is kind of somewhat implied. You may have a different viewpoint on that. But I believe it's implied in verse 4. The Lord accepted the Abel's offering because it was the firstborn of his flock. But for Cain in verse 5, for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry and his face fell. Let me confess to you that I believe it is difficult as a child. We're all a child of a parent. When our parents reject something from us, it hurts. They may be right. They may be wrong. But it hurts. Rejection hurts. We don't like rejection. Even though we may be in the wrong. You know, even though the person may be pointing us in the right direction. But rejection hurts. And oftentimes their first emotion to come to where everyone sees as visible is anger. Because we want to know, why did you reject me? I thought you loved me. I did the same thing as my brother, and yet you reject me, Lord. And keep in mind, this is not Adam and Eve here. This is God himself having more regard for Abel's offering and not having no regard for Cain's offering. It was a flat out rejection. Okay? And as a result, Cain was very angry. But the Lord is a loving God. He's a loving God. He just didn't reject it, but he also gave him a little bit of advice because he saw the anger. He saw the struggle of Cain. He saw Cain was struggling with this rejection. And like any other loving parent, it's like, son, let me come talk to you right quick. Let me explain to you why I had no regard. I had a better regard for your brother's offering and none for yours. But I love you that much. I want to explain to you. We go to verse 6. The Bible says the Lord said to Cain, he asked him first, why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? So notice how what he starts off with, he's acknowledging his anger. Why are you angry, Cain? Well, this is God. God knows why Cain is angry, but he wants a confession from Cain himself. Why don't you tell me, Cain, why are you angry? Okay? And he says, and why has your face fallen? So there's there's the anger, and then there's the reaction to the anger. This action Cain takes where his face fell. And God wants to know from Cain himself, you tell me. God knows. But I want you to tell me why you're angry and why your face fallen. God gives him a little bit of advice in verse 7. He says, if you do well, would you not be accepted? Let's stop right there. Do you notice that we get a little bit of insight from God? He says, if you do well. Well, he wasn't doing well. Because God is telling you, if you do well. But Cain wasn't doing well. And he wasn't handling it well. So he says, if you do well, would you not be accepted? Now, what's interesting is God didn't say, if you do well, would your offering be accepted? Unless I got a translation to ESV. It says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? So it was what Cain was doing. He wasn't doing well when he did that, when he brought the offering. Something prior was going on with Cain when he brought the offering. And God made that clear in verse 7. If you do well, would you not be accepted? If you do not do well, what did he tell him? Sin is crouching at the door. And when sin is at the door, its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. In other words, God has given him everything he needs to overcome sin. The onus is on Cain. So likewise, in this world, the onus is on us as God's children. He has given us everything we need. Even when we're tempted, he gives us a way out. But we have to find, we have to follow and take that door on the way out. Once he says, hey, here's the way out, Chris, it's up to me to take that way out, or I can just sit here and pout. But if I sit here and pout, whose fault is it? It's my fault. It's nobody else's fault. It's my fault. But here's the problem. I can become blind like Cain and not listen. When we disregard the commands of our Lord, guess what happens in verse 8? Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. And this is after receiving advice from God. He spoke to his brother Abel. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. He knew exactly what he was going to do. He did not purge the anger from his heart. He did not put away the anger from his heart. What Cain did was he acted on his anger. He disregarded what God had said and said, hey, okay, whatever. I'm going to handle this my way. And he had every intention to murder his brother. Now, what is wrong with that is when we go to the Bible, turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, verse 11. We learn a little bit more about our relationship with each other through the relationship of Cain and Abel since they were both brothers. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 11, it says, but whoever hates his brother is, guess what, is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because darkness has blinded his eyes. What did God say to Cain? If you do well, okay, you'll be fine. But if you don't do well, sin is crouching at the door. And what happens is he allowed that hate to persist, and therefore he was walking in darkness. He did not heed the advice of the Lord, and therefore it says, and does not know where he's going, because darkness is what?
blinded his eyes. He can't see. He doesn't know what he's doing. Remember when Jesus was on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You're so consumed with the world or trying to be like the world, or you're in your feelings and you can't handle being rejected. Well, Jesus was rejected. His own people chose a murderer over the Son of God. You can't get no more worse than that. The Messiah who they were waiting on, they rejected the Messiah. They rejected Jesus and said, this murderer, you can go free. This is the guy we want. Jesus was rejected. And so you got to notice the contrast here, that when Cain is rejected, hate takes over. And when hate takes over, as the Lord says, sin is crouching at the door. And when sin is crouching at the door, it has a kind of effect on you. Just like the pain had an effect on my body, it was telling my body, Chris, you're about to go bye-bye if you don't do something about this. Sin has the same effect on us as Christians. If we don't do something about it, we're going to go bye-bye spiritually and we will never see each other again. But it gets worse than that. We will go to a place of torment where it's constant pain. You definitely don't want to go there. As the Bible says, it's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You will never come back from that place. And so therefore, sin has that effect, because when we're walking in darkness, we can't see. We can't see. And so therefore, go to Matthew chapter 15, verse 14. Matthew chapter 15, verse 14. Where Jesus said, let them alone, they are a blind guide. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the pit. You become blind, and then all of a sudden you feel like you got to be around other people who are blind like you to make yourself what? Feel better. And so in the case of Cain, there was no one else, but he felt good to himself, to where he in his mind felt that I'm going to solve my problems by murdering my brother. There are a lot of people in this world that feel that way, that feel like their problems go away if I murder someone. And let's balance the scales here. Sometimes you see someone doing evil and you feel like, some people feel like, if I murder that person, all the evil will go away. No. It'll be another person rising up. There'll be another one. There'll be another one. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. But then there's the other person that feels like, I just want to murder to put the fear of me in you. Not realizing you need to be fearing God. You're trying to sit there and use murder as a weapon to get people to fear you. Well, that's not going to work. Because the thing is, anybody can go out and murder and kill. But we have to make the choice. And so likewise, we can't be blind to the choices we make, because as Christians, we should be walking in the light. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, the Apostle Paul says, for at one time you were darkness, but you are now a light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. The thing about light is this: when you're walking in darkness, you can't see, but when you have the light, it reveals things. Not only about what you see, what's ahead of you, around you, but you see things within yourself. You see things that maybe you need to change if you are committed to the light. And so like Cain, God reached out to Cain. He chose not to listen. But did you know we were like Cain too? How many times has someone had to bring the word of God to us before we finally listen? We probably don't know. But I can guarantee you, someone reached out to you. You heard the word of God in some capacity. That is God reaching out to you. It doesn't matter who the person is. Don't matter if you heard it on the radio. Doesn't matter if you saw the word of God on TV. God, when God's word is there, he's speaking to you. He's speaking to you because he's calling out to you. In some capacity, God is communicating to those in the world to pull you out of darkness into the light. And just like he gave Cain advice, hey, you want to stay in the darkness, there are consequences. If I stayed in pain and ignored everything else, there is consequences. And so likewise, when we have to be able to be careful and discern darkness from light, in other words, we have to recognize Satan wants to blind us, right? Just like he blinds the unbelievers. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Where Paul says, in their case, talking about those in the world, In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from what? Seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Who is the God of this world? The prince of darkness is Satan. And guess what? We were once there, as Paul has said, just like we were in darkness, we know people around us is in darkness. But we also know what the solution is. We have to go to those who are in darkness. We have to reach out to them. But guess what? There is no guarantee they will listen. God himself reached out to Cain. God himself. And Cain wouldn't listen. Just like the people when in 1 Samuel chapter 8, let's go there right quick. 1 Samuel chapter 8. And we learn something from 1 Samuel chapter 8. Give me a second. I just skipped over that. So when we look at 1 Samuel chapter 8, what did God's people want? They wanted a king. Verse 4, then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel and Ramah and said to him, behold, you are old. Your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint for us a king to judge like all the nations. You have to understand, where did that request come from? Did it come from the light or the darkness? Who were they listening to? The problem is, they wanted a king to judge us like all the nations. Because they're looking at, hey, Samuel, your sons don't walk in your ways, so that's reason for me to say we want a king to judge us like us, because your sons' behavior. You know what they're doing? They're passing the buck, and they're trying to use that as an excuse to sit there and justify their own sin. People do that a lot. They see the wrong somebody else has done, and they feel like that's a justification for them to commit a sin. The world does that consistently. As much as the sun rises every day, the world will look for a reason, say, hey, Chris, you did this on Wednesday, so I'm going to do this on Friday and Monday. That's your justification? You might as well just do it every day if you're going to do that. That's your justification for sin? That's your justification for walking in darkness? And so the thing is, when you're walking in darkness, you are blind. You don't understand what you're asking for. And so likewise, when going back to Genesis chapter 4, going back there, when Cain was so very angry, he doesn't understand why he's angry. In the sense that you're serving God, you know God has an expectation for you in terms of what he expects for you to offer to him. You know your mind isn't right, but his anger consumed him to the point where he couldn't see, to where it led to murderous intentions by Cain to sit there and murder his brother. Now, here's the second part to this. Let's read verses 9 through 13. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. This is accountability, but we'll get to that in a second. When we look at verse 13 and beyond, this is accountability. And oftentimes, for many, it is too late. For some people, they get an opportunity to turn it around. But let's break this down, starting at verse 9. God himself goes to Cain. Where is Abel your brother? Now keep in mind, he knows where Abel is. He knows Abel is dead, which he's going to reveal. But he's giving Cain an opportunity once again to confess. I hope we now understand the importance of confession here. Because this is the second time he's asked him a question where God knows the answer already. But God said, no, you tell me what happened to your brother. Where is Abel? You tell me. He didn't say I already know, but you tell me. If you look at the response, you got to wonder, does Cain know who he's talking to? He's saying, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? It's almost like you want to just say, if he's Cain, Jeff, that's God. That's God. You know? And it's almost like, what's going on here? You mean to tell me Cain is so far gone? He doesn't even know he's talking to God? Now contrast that with Moses when he's getting the commandments on Mount Sinai and God's giving his commandments. Moses knows who he's talking to. Cain doesn't seem to know. Now you understand the scripture, know the Lord thy God. Know him. You have to know him. If you don't know him, then you ask a question like, you're openly lying. I do not know. Well, of course he knows. He murdered him. How are you going to go to God himself, who's omnipotent, that can see everything? Everything's transparent, and you're going to openly lie to God? That's what sin can do to you. It is hurting you. It is killing Cain to the point where he is so blinded, he doesn't even understand. He thinks he can play the same tricks on God like any person can play on another man. That's not going to work with God. And Cain is so much into the darkness, he's saying, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And now that's the second part I don't get. Abel is your brother. And so he hates his brother so much because God accepted his offering. So you got to get to the heart of the hate. He's angry with God, but he turns that anger to hate towards his brother. So what is he going to do? Try to murder God? He can't do that. So let me go ahead and look at Abel. He likes his offering. Let me kill him. What exactly was Cain trying to solve here? Because when you murder your brother, you created a bigger problem. God has given him an opportunity to confess. And now we go to verse 10, where God's like, okay, you don't know if I'm my brother's keeper. God's like, what have you done? God's getting right to it. What have you done? And God said, the voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. You have to understand that God is basically saying, are you forgetting who I am? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Can you imagine what Cain's face looks like at this point? When God is now saying, the voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. I hear him. And Cain's got to know, well, if he said, I don't know, and God's like, whoa, okay. He just got reminded that God is the God of the living, not God of the dead. God is over all, above all, and God is revealing through that scripture, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now God is saying in verse 11, and now you are cursed from the ground. Let the accountability begin. Let people understand why a child has to be disciplined when they disregard their parents' instructions. Let us all understand as adults, when we disregard laws, there will be accountability. And there will always be accountability because God set this world up where everybody will have to answer to him. Every knee will eventually bow. But we all will be held to accountability, and God is now going to hold Cain accountable. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened his mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. It's not going to give you the best, Cain, because you put your brother in the ground. So therefore, the ground is not going to yield to you its strength. And guess what, Cain? You are going to be a fugitive. You're going to be a wanderer on the earth. That's not a good thing. You have no home. You got nowhere to go. You're lost. And on top of that, you're a fugitive. You're a criminal. Everybody knows this about you. And Cain, when it hits Cain, in verse 13, my punishment is greater than I can bear. God didn't drop him on the spot. We see in scripture, God has killed others right on the spot. God didn't drop him on the spot. But God says, okay. But listen to what Cain says in verse 14. Behold, you have driven me away today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Whoever finds me will kill me. Oh, Cain is now concerned about who's going to kill him. He's concerned now. Wait a minute. Was Abel, did you feel that way about your brother? Now for us, do we learn something about our relationships with each other? About how we should treat each other, how we should pray for one another? That when we go, do we bear one another's burdens? Do we understand each other's pain? Do we understand how we should feel about each other? Because we learn something about brotherhood here. And we learn, unfortunately, we see the negative effects. But we also understand that Cain is realizing when the focus is on him now, he's concerned about what people are going to do to him. And he's saying, look, verse 14 kind of stands out to me. Because Cain says, behold, you have driven me today from the ground. And, you know, when I'm reading that, I'm like, I don't know how I would take that. You know, it's true. God is doing that. But it's kind of like, well, Cain, no, you drove yourself away. You did that. You killed your brother, not God. He's holding you accountable. When the criminal is being held accountable and they are unrepentant, they don't get it. They don't get it. Some of them don't. Some of them do get it. Some of them do get it. Praise God. Some of them do give their lives to Christ. Praise God. Yes, they still have to answer, but guess what? There's paradise. We see the example of that with the thief on the cross, right? But Cain seems to be, you driven me away from the ground, from your face I shall be hidden. No, Cain, you did that. That's technically true, what he's saying, but Cain, your actions led to this point. And Cain's acknowledging he would be a fugitive and a wanderer, but he's concerned about who would kill him. But God is saying, and this is a merciful God. Then the Lord said to him, not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. God spared Cain that fate. He spared Cain that fate. It's not explained why, but I think we get the point behind that. God still loves Cain. Cain came with a concern. God still heard him. And he says, okay, Cain, not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be on him, taken on him sevenfold. So it's still possible. However, God says, put a mark on Cain, lest anyone found him should attack him. So someone could possibly still kill Cain, but God listed the consequences upon that person, but he provided that mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. They should know this is Cain. Remember David and Saul? When David had all opportunities to kill Saul, I'm not killing the Lord's anointed. I'm not doing that. I actually had that conversation with my father-in-law yesterday. We were talking about that. I should not kill the Lord's anointed. You know, because we were talking about, you know, Cain, the things that Saul was doing. But even David found, hey, God made him king. I'm not touching the Lord's anointed. Even though David was next in line in succession. But some lessons that we really learn from Cain and Abel is we have to be careful of how we take rejection. We have to understand there may be a purpose behind that. We need to pray about it so we don't become blind to the reaction in terms of concealing our anger. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13 says, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Don't conceal your sin like Cain did. Don't take God for a fool. He is no fool. He sees everything. So he knows what you have done. We have to recognize that if God gives us the opportunity to repent or confess, we need to take him on that opportunity. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we need to confess. When we've done something wrong, we need to confess. We need to look inward and recognize the error of our ways and turn from sin and to make sure that we make things right with God. And so as 1 John chapter 3, verse 6 says, if we don't go down that path and we walk in darkness, it says, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him. And guess what? Known him. If you know God, you're not going to keep on sinning. You're going to do something about that sin. And there are lessons in the Bible that shows us how we can overcome that, where there are things that may prevent us or things that tempt us, that leads us into sin. Well, Jesus gives us a clue in Matthew 5. Cut it off. Cut off. Cut it off. There are things we need to cut off from our life to cut off sin. We know what they are. God knows what they are. But we know the example in Genesis chapter 4, where God is giving a little bit of a tip to Cain. Hey, if you do it as well, everything be right. But if you don't do as well, sin is crouching at the door. And Jesus comes up later, follow up, saying, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Not saying literally. What he's saying is, if something in your life is holding you back from following God, you need to cut it off. I don't know. There is no I don't know. Cut it off. Maybe I give it some thought. There is no giving no thought. Cut it off. You know why? Because it is holding you back from fully serving God. So there is no, let me think about it. Let me give it some time, some thought. Let me study it a little bit more. Well, it's causing you to sin. It's causing you to sin. There's your thought process right there. Cut it off, because you don't know when the time when Jesus will come back. I will come like a thief in the night. Does anybody know when a thief will show up and just going to rob them? No, nobody knows. It's been in the news, all these athletes, while they're playing the game, somebody's been going into their mansions, taking stuff in their house. And they have security. So you don't know what a thief is going to do, but guess what? A thief is always clocking you. Satan is always clocking you. He is looking for weaknesses, vulnerabilities. He's looking for ways to corrupt those who belong to God, as well as keeping those in the world in the world. This is a war. And if we don't recognize the error of our ways and look at the things we should do to kind of reconcile our relationship with God, then guess what? We are all lost. So let's go to this scripture. Just two more scriptures I want to share with you. So for Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Look at verse 8. And actually, I'm going to read verses 6, 7, and 8. The Apostle Paul says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy, empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. We actually kind of talked about this a little bit at a high level in the Bible study. But the thing is, human tradition, element spirits of the world, think of the Catholic Church. We don't mention the Catholic Church just to beat up on the Catholic Church, but there's a serious problem with what they teach. It is not aligned to the Word of God. And if you follow the path of any type of teaching that leads you astray, and Paul talks about this again in the book of Galatians chapter 1 and chapter 2, there are serious consequences. Not only to the one that brings you false doctrine, but to the one that accepts the false doctrine. You can't sit there and say, well, Frank brought this to me, so he bears the burden. No, both of us are going down. So there is responsibility on the one who receives it. And Paul is issuing a warning. Hey, just like God issued a warning to Cain, see to it that no one takes you what? Captive. Captive. Someone's taking you captive by what? Philosophy and empty deceit. Don't entertain those things. Put them away. According to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world. Letting you know there's a spiritual element behind these things. When you see false doctrine, that is Satan seeking to drive you further away from Jesus Christ under the guise that you are still with Jesus Christ. You see what I'm saying? That is deception. That is deception. And so the Satan will have you believe you're still with Jesus Christ, even though you're not following the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And all of us still love Jesus Christ, even though none of us follow the doctrine of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the denominational world, or whatever you want to call it, institutions that have set themselves up to be like their Christ. But as Jesus warns us, false Christ shall appear. He told that to his apostles. They are still with us today. Look at verse 13. Paul says in Colossians 2:13, and you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all trespasses by canceling the record of death that stood against us with his demands that he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Paul had to deal with some things. He had to deal with rulers and authorities that didn't agree with his faith. But God had plans for Paul. And just like how we brought this morning, he was on in Acts chapter 27. Guess what? That angel told Paul when he was on that ship, hey, Paul, you're going to be safe because you must stand before Caesar. You must go to the head of the Roman Empire and let him know that he is the one that rules over the kingdoms of men. You think that's changed in 2025? No, it hasn't. It is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that has created all things. He wants everyone subject to him. Every knee will bow. And finally, go to Colossians chapter 3. A bit of advice, again. Look at verses 1 and 2. If you then have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above and not on the things that are on the earth. And Paul goes about distinguishing those things between verses 5 through 17. You can go ahead and read that. But he's talking about putting to death those sinful things and putting on, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, those spiritual things. But the key here I want to highlight is verse 2, and that's where we end the lesson. Set your mind on things above, heavenly things. No matter what persecution, no matter what threats man may have come your way, or no matter what hateful thing or something someone has done to you, you got to remember who you serve. And you don't want to end up like Cain, unfortunately, which is a sad, sad story, because Cain allowed his anger to consume him. There are many things that can consume us in this world. The only thing that would get us out of it is staying focused on the things that are above and Christ and recognizing that he has paid the price for all of our sins. So let us focus our minds on not disappointing God, but let's focus our minds on doing everything to glorify God while we still have time on this earth as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.